Okay, let's get into our discussion of Megillah Yerushalmi Daf Yud Aleph, and we are on Yud Amud Beis. We'll start with the Mishnah. Again, we'll have to get back to another point, the Tokta Dibur comment of the Karban Eida. But we start with the next Ein Bein. So today we get into Ein Beins of Zav and Ein Beins of Mitzora, two of the Tame people that we don't really have today, but they are two of the Mechusrei Kapara. We know the Mishnah tells us at the beginning of the second parak of Krisus, that's the name of the parak, Arba Mechusrei Kapara. There are four people that not only are Tameh, but after they are Tameh, they have to bring a Karban. Most of the time, if I'm Tameh, then I become Tar. If I become, somebody becomes Tameh Mace. Somebody become Tameh for touching a dead rodent, Tameh Sheretz. You know, however long you're Tameh for, so then you're Tameh for a day, you're Tameh for a week, and after you go through the process, then you become Tar. But there are four people that not only are they Tameh, but after counting a week or so then they have to bring a Karban on the next day, on day eight. That's Zav, Zav, Yoledes, and Mitzora. Those four. A Zav and a Zava, rather a male and a female. A Zav, a male who has some type of emission, and it is not, it's considered, Zav and Zav are considered an illness. They're not called normal emissions. It's not like Nida, which is normal for a woman every month to have her period, but that's Nida. That's normal expected blood. Zava is some other type of excretion, some other type of flow that the Gemara talks about elsewhere. You know, how do you know the difference? Different color, different texture, but it's has a different status, Zava. And a Zav for a man, too, when a man has some type of emission, not in the context of being with his wife. That's considered normal, shefazera. But ziva is some type of other type of liquid that comes out that is an illness, so that causes tuma. So that zav and zava and yoledes, which is not today's topic, and mitzora, and a mitzora including a male or a female mitzora. We'll get to why zav and zava are listed separately and mitzora not. But now let's go to the Mishnah. Same bein zav harosh debrius leroa shalosh elakarban. So you know a zav, a man who has some type of emission, some type of re'ia one time. So then he's it's as if it's he became tummy from shechva zera, which is regular zera when he is with his wife. So there's only one re'ia of ziva. So then there's no waiting more than a day. It's like he's matame mishum just one day with shechva zera. But once he sees twice, once Azov sees shtei re'ios, so then he has to wait shivanakiyim. We're used to that language for by a woman, but in the days when we held of tumah v'tahara, so if Azov has a re'ia, so then he has to wait a week. What if he has two re'ias? That means two on the same day, or two on consecutive days, one on each day. What if he has three re'ias, three in a day, or three consecutive days? Then not only has to count seven clean days of not having any ziva, but he has to bring a karban on day eight. That's the first line of the Mishnah. Ein bein zav haroash day re'ios, the roash shalosh, ela karban. That's the difference in the karban. And that's the first Mishnah, Meseches Zavim. Meseches Zavim, as we know, the end of Seder Taurus, we have Meseches Zavim. So the Mishnah says, Haroa re'ia achas shel zov. Haroa re'ia achas shel zov. Beis Shammai says, has the status of Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, and Beis Hillel Omrim Kebal Keri. A Bal Keri, so then that is the, by one Re'ia. By the second Re'ia, again, Shiva Nikiyam. By the third Re'ia, then, not only, seven clean days, but also have to bring a Karban. So we'll get back to that. But now let's continue. The second half. Ein Bein Mitzora Muskar LeMitzora Mochlat. We know if you read Parshas Tazria Mitzora, we know sometimes a person has a potential tzaras body, goes to the Kohen, the Kohen's like, I'm not sure, go stay in your house for a week. That's a Mitzora Muzgar, he's Sagur, he's in the house. When the Kohen says, I'm not sure what to do, we have to wait a week to see if it spreads, to see if it changes colors, to see if any hair grows. So that's a Mitzora Muzgar. There's a certain level of Tumah for a Mitzora Muzgar. Once a Mitzora is Vadai a Mitzora, that's called a Mitzora Muchlat. He's Chalat, he is for sure a Mitzora. So also there are differences in Halacha between a Mitzora Muskar and a Mitzora Mukhlat. They're both Tameh to a certain level, but the Mishnah says, what's the difference in Mitzora Muskar and Mitzora Mukhlat? Ella, Priya Uferima, a Priya, growing one's hair long, Uprima, and ripping one's clothing like an Avel. So only a Mitzora Mukhlat, a mitzora who is a vade mitzora, so then he has to grow his hair long and he has to tear his clothing like an avel, tiglachas, and only he, the mitzora muchlat, has to get a haircut actually twice. Right after, once he starts the process, then a week later, there's two haircuts for a mitzvah. But that only applies to a mitzvah mochlat. He's the one that had the mitzvah to grow his hair long, so he's the one that has a mitzvah to get a haircut. Vitziparim, and the process of bringing the two birds in the tahara process, you take two birds, you shecht one of them, you let the other one free. Besides the other karbanos of a mitzvah, which Beis Hashem will talk about, the other karbanos of a chatas and an ol and an asham, but this whole process of priya and frima, that is during the tzaras, and tigachas et ziparim, that's to get rid of the tzaras, all those halachas only apply by a mitzora muchlat, a mitzora that's vadai a mitzora, not a mitzora muskar, not a mitzora that is just closed in and waiting to see what's going to be. So these are the two halachas of the Mishnah. But the difference between zav twice and zav three times, and the difference between a mitzora muchlat and a mitzora muskar. Today we're going to be spending most of our time just on the push-up shot of the Gemara, and we'll see what we have time to add. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to have two opinions. The first opinion is going to take up 15 lines, and the second opinion is going to take up 2 lines. But what are going to be the two opinions? When the Mishnah says that the difference between Zav 2 and Zav 3, is that talking about the Rios or the person? Right, the first day is, it's going to talk about the difference between the second Ria of a Zav or the third Re'iyah of a Zav. Is that what the Mishnah means? That's what we're going to talk about first. Then the Mishnah is going to say, no. What we thought the Mishnah meant, that's what we're going to say at the end, on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amin Aleph. No, the difference between a Zav who had two Re'iyos versus a Zav who had three Re'iyos. That's going to be the second pshat of the Gemara, which we're not going to talk about for a few minutes. So let's go with the first pshat. What does the Mishnah mean, the difference between two and three? It's talking about one person. It's talking about one person. What's the difference between Re'iyah number two and Re'iyah number three of a Zav? Again, a Zav sees once, then it doesn't make him tamei for too long. He's like, it's as if he was with his wife and become tamei for a short time. But then once he sees twice, so now he has the status of a Zav, and he has to count 7 clean days without having any type of Re'iyah, and he goes to the mikveh afterwards, and then he's tahar. The third time, if he saw 3 days in a row, or 3 times on the same day, so then he's not only a Zav for a week, but he has to bring a Karban the next day. So that's what the Mishnah said. So that's the only difference between Riyah number two and Riyah number three, the Mishnah seemed to say, whether you're Chayav a Karban after. So now the Gemara says, oh, so maybe the Mishnah must be like the Shita of Rabbi Elazar. Which Rabbi Elazar? Amr, Yudha Bar Pasi, Rabbi Elazar. It must be that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Elazar Shita. What's Rabbi Elazar Shita? That's the Mishnah in Zavim in the second parak. Let's just mention the Machlokes. And that is, the Rabbi Elazar says that, well, let's go back a step. This Ziva that we're talking about, this type of Re'iyah, it's an illness, but the Halacha only applies if it's really a natural illness that comes from within. If we could attribute this Re'iyah to some other type of external cause or stimuli, then it doesn't count as a Ziva. What if this man was shocked, and all of a sudden he was so scared of something that he had a Re'iyah that come out? Or, let's say, he was dreaming about a certain woman. So then that's also an external stimuli. What happens if he was carrying a heavy load? What happens if he was doing some type of extreme exercise? Any of these types of events, if we could attribute the Re'iyah to some type of external event, it doesn't count. Doesn't count for the Ziva. It doesn't become part of the counting of how many you have. So the first one, there's no bedikas checked, right? You have to check and interview him and ask him, like, were you doing any of these activities? So the first one, you don't have to check. The second one, you check, because you have to know, is this second one going to be added on? Because the first one, remember, the first one has the status of Shechva Zera, and therefore it's going to make him that level Tamei anyway. But the second one, we check for, right? If it's external stimuli, this is not going to make him Tamei. If there is no external stimuli, that's going to be the second one. What about the third one? What about the third one? Do we check the third one? If we know the first two, or at least the second one, was not based on external stimuli. What about the third one? That's a machlokas tanaim. Right? The Rabbanan say, you don't check the third one. Once he's in the state of Ziva, you check the second one, it was not based on external stimuli, he's got two in that direction, you don't check the third, it's what's called raglayim ladavar. He's on his way, I'm sure this one is also based on Ziva, and you don't even have to check the third one. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, you'd have to check the third one too. You have to check the third one too. That's the machlokas. That's the machlokas in the Mishnah in Zavim. So let's read. The Mishnah in Zavim in the second parak says, B'shiva drachim botkenes azav. I'm just reading from the Mishnah. There are seven things that you check for. Machal. Maybe he ate something really spicy, and that's going to cause him to have a yeri'ah. Machal, mishdeh, masa, carried something, kvitzah, he did some exercise, choli. He has some type of other illness. He has, I don't know, he has strep, and that makes him have this aria, whatever it is. Bemare, he saw something, hear her. So all of those, you want to say, in that mishdeh, but you don't check the third one. Rishona botkenoso shnia. I'm sorry, I take it back before. You do check the first one, even though it's got the status of, shechva zera. Botkenoso, botkenoso, shlishes ain't botkenoso. The third one you don't check. That's the, Rabbanan Shita. You only check the first one, and the second one, but not the, third one. There's a discussion about checking the first one. Okay. Rabbi Elazar Omer, officially, she's about to go to somebody at carbon. Rabbi Elazar says, no, you gotta check the third one, because if the third one is based on an external stimuli, you're not chayav to bring a carbon. Good. That's a machlokas in the Mishnah in Zavim. So now we get back to our case. So our Mishnah says, the only difference between Riyah number one and Riyah number two is carbon. Mashma, there's no other difference between them. One second. According to the Rabbanan in Zavim, there's a difference between number two and number three. Number two, you do the checking. Number three, you don't do the checking. So it must be our Mishnah's like Rabbi Elazar. Right? Rabbi Elazar, he must be like our Mishnah's following Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar, Amar, Afishlish is both going to some of the Akarban. Rabbi Elazar holds, like we just read in that Mishnah, that even by the third Re'iyah, we have to check whether it was based on natural from within or some type of external cause. Because if it was based on an external cause, he's not Chayav a carbon. Not Chayav the carbon of his Av. So therefore the Mishnah, which says that there's no difference between Re'iyah number two and Re'iyah number three, there's no difference. It's like Rabbi Elazar Shita, who says there's no difference. You have to check for both of them. According to the Rabbanon, it can't be like Rabbanon Shita, because Rabbanon says there is another difference. So their Mishnah must be according to Rabbi Elazar. Baram Karabanam, because according to the Rabbanon, Hashnia Me'ones Tahar, because according to the Rabbanon, the second Re'iyah that he sees, if it's based on external factors, Me'ones Tahar, Vashlishis Me'ones Tame. And the third one, even if it's external factors, it's going to be Tame anyway, so you don't do any checking for the third one. It's what's called, the Mishnah's language is Raglayim Ladavar. Come on. If you're ready at two, obviously the third one is going to make him into a Zav. So that is the first suggestion. The Mishnah's only like Rabbi Elazar. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosa, maybe not true. Amar Rabbi Yosa, the Amora says, in Les Haid Rabbanan, Velo Of Rabbi Elazar Lesi. You're saying it can't be like the Rabbi Shita, the Rabbanan. What do you mean? It can't be like Rabbi Elazar Shita either. Why? Because we're about to see that even according to Rabbi Elazar, there's another difference between Re'iyah number two and Re'iyah number three. We're about to quote another difference. So if we're going to quote another difference from Rabbi Elazar, so if he left it out, so there's no difference between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan. They both have a halacha left out of the Mishnah. So don't tell me that, oh, the Mishnah can't be the Rabbanan, because there's a difference left out. Rabbi Elazar also has a difference left out. So if they both have differences left out, it must be that the Mishnah is not giving an exclusive, this is the only difference. There are other differences too. So the Mishnah could be like the Rabbanan Shita, the Mishnah could be like Rabbi Elazar Shita. So what's the difference left out? The Rabbanan's difference left out, we just said. Check number, the Riyah number two, you have to do a B'dika for. Riyah number three, you don't do a B'dika for. That's the Rabbanan. What about Rabbi Elazar? Here we go. Detani Amar Rabbi Elazar, says Rabbi Elazar, let's say a Zav became a real Zav. And now he's counting seven clean days. Again, we're used to Shiva Nikiyim for Bizman Hazeh for women. But in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, it was for men too. Yet, so Azav is counting seven clean days. What happens if he's with his wife during those seven clean days? He has a Re'iyah of Shechva Zera. Does that ruin his clean counting? So the halach is, it doesn't ruin it, but it can't count. Meaning, let's say on day four, he's with his wife. Right? Let's say he has a Re'iyah of Keri. So that day four, it doesn't count, but it doesn't like ruin that he has to start counting again. That's the halacha of Keri. If he has a Ziva Re'iyah, but according to Rabbi Elazar, if he has another Ziva Re'iyah, so that's going to ruin his count. That's going to ruin his count even if it has an external stimuli. You don't need Bedika during for the Re'iyah of Ziva during Shiva Nikiyim. Even Rabbi Elazar, who says you have to count for day three, you have to count for the third one to see if it can be Chayav a Karbon, if it's in the middle of Shiva Nikiyim and he had a Ziva Re'iyah, so then there's no need for Bedika. Unless it's not in the middle of Shiva Nikiyim, like Rabbi Elazar's shita is, let's say it's at, it's just day three of the Re'iyah, right? You have to see if he's going to become a Zav. So says the Gemara, Datani, Amar Rabbi Elazar, when I check for the, at the third Re'iyah, Lo Lesosro Amarti, I'm not checking if it's going to be Soser, if it, to uproot the Shiva Nekiyim. Again, if a Zav is counting Shiva Nekiyim, and then he has a Re'iyah of Ziva in the middle of that Shiva Nekiyim, even Rabbi Elazar says that, that ruins it. You got to start again. Lo Lesosro Amarti, I didn't say to check to uproot the Shiva Nekiyim. That for sure does, even without the external stimuli. Elish lo yavi karban. It's only about whether he's going to become a Zav Gadol in the first place. Whether this third Re'iyah is based on, right, it's 3 days in a row. Let's say it's the third day in a row, so then you're going to check if it's going to make him Tipachai of a karban. Again, the Mishnah repeats it. Lo amarti she'eno Zav listar Zav. When you have a Re'iyah in the middle of Shiva Nekiyim, I'm not checking it to say that it's going to, whether it's going to undo the days. Of course it is. Ho will listar lo amar. We changed the gersa to lo amar. Ho listar lo amar ela shalo yavi karban. Right? It's just, the checking is only, we said the same thing twice, two lines in a row. He only said that you have to check to see whether he's going to become a zav in the first place to be chayav a karban or not. So that's the shita of Rabbi Elazar. We didn't get to the punchline yet. Rabbi Elazar holds again. To repeat, in the middle of the Rabbi Elazar holds that the third Re'iyah of a Zav, of course you have to check. If this is based on something external, he's not going to be become a Zav to be a Chayav a Karban. Once he is a Zav, and now he's counting Shiva Nekiyim, seven clean days, in the middle of those days, you don't do any checking for, is there any other source? Because no matter what, it's going to ruin his seven clean days. So the checking is to see if he's going to be chayav a karban, but not for stira. So 1 second. So now the Gemara says, Hada amra divrei akolhi. If this is true, now let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah could be according to everybody. It's not dafka according to Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanan. Because even according to Rabbi Elazar, there's a halacha that's left out. And there's a difference between Re'iyah number two and Re'iyah number three. Why? In Tema de Rabbi Elazar, if you want to say our Mishnah is only like Rabbi Elazar, but what do you mean? There's a difference. Nisni, we should learn the following as a difference between Re'iyah number two and Re'iyah number three. Hashnia, the second Re'iyah, we add in a word here, the word lo. Hashnia, lo bestira, velo bakarban. A second Re'iyah is not going to uproot the 7 days, the Shiva Nekiyim. Why not? Because if you only had a second Re'iyah, you don't have Shiva Nekiyim yet, right? If the second Re'iyah that he's going to have will never be in the middle of Shiva Nekiyim because he's not there yet. So Hashnia lo bestira, it'll never be Soser because you don't, it's not going to be a Shiva Nekiyim, but lo bakarban, and it's never going to be b'chayvim a karban. Shlishis bestira ubakarban. But the third Re'iyah can uproot his whole counting automatically, even without a bedika, and it could also lead to a karban, which, if it's not based on an external factor. So what do you see from there? That even according to Rabbi Elazar, there's another difference between Re'iyah number two and Re'iyah number three, besides whether you can have a karban after Re'iyah number three and not after Re'iyah number two. There's another difference. Whether it uproots during Shiva Nekiyim. The second Re'iyah will never uproot because it's never going to be during Shiva Nekiyim. You only become a Zav that requires Shiva Nekiyim after a second Re'iyah. So the Gemara says, again repeating, I'll die to Rabbi Elazar, because according to Rabbi Elazar, Rosh Shtayim Bishofi Va'achas Bekoshi, according to Rabbi Elazar, if he sees a Re'iyah, two Re'iyahs, Bishofi, that means relaxed, meaning without any external stimuli. So he becomes a Zav that requires Shiva Nekiyim. Va'achas Bekoshi, but the third one is based on an external stimuli, that type of Re'iyah, so Seres, that would ruin within Shiva Nekiyim, they didn't have a karban, you don't bring a karban for that. So basically the Gemara said the same thing three times in a row, but the point of the Gemara, this is all end of day number one of the Gemara. The point of the Gemara is that even according to Rabbi Elazar, there's a difference between the second Re'iyah of Azav and the third Re'iyah of Azav, besides the difference mentioned in the Mishnah. So don't tell me, the Gemara says, that the Mishnah has to be like Rabbi Elazar, not the Rabbanan. Because according to Rabbanan, there was a difference that was left out of the Mishnah. According to Rabbi Elazar, there's also a difference that was left out of the Mishnah. So both opinions have something left out. So don't tell me the Mishnah is only like one opinion and not like the other opinion. This is all number one. But the Gemara now says, maybe there's a different shot of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not comparing. When the Mishnah says, Ein Bein, Shtei Re'iyos versus Shalosh Re'iyos, the Mishnah is not comparing Re'iyah number two and Re'iyah number three. The Mishnah is comparing a person who had two Re'iyos and a person who had three Re'iyos. Amar Reb Yudin, Masnisa B'shnei B'nei Adam. No, the Mishnah is about two different people. Right, and therefore it's simple. The difference between somebody, a Zav with two Re'iyos and a Zav with three Re'iyos, is whether you're Chayav Karbon or not. That's the only difference, and that's according to everybody. And I'm Rabbi Chanina, Masisa Amar Kein. Rabbi Chanina says, it sounds that way for the Mishnah. Because what's the next line of the Mishnah? We're obviously talking about people. Ein bein mitzora muskala ela priya ufrima v'teglachas yisibarim. What's the next, the second part of the Mishnah? We're talking about two people. A mitzora, who is a muskar. A mitzora, who is a muklat. There we're not talking about types of spots. We're talking about people. So, hada'am Rabbi Shnei b'nei adam anan kaimin. It must be we're talking about two different people, not two different symptoms within the same person. Because in Tamar, ba'adam echad, if we're talking about one person, so the Mishnah should have said, this the ein bein baheres gadol baheres gadana. The difference between a big spot and a small spot. Doesn't say that in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah is obviously talking about two different types of people in the second line of the Mishnah. So we must be talking about two different types of people in the first half of the Mishnah. Okay. We continue. Oh, so the Mishnah continues. Heich mata atamar taman b'shnei b'nei adam anan kaimin. So just like in the seifa of the Mishnah, you have to see we're talking about two different people. So achav b'shnei b'nei adam anan kaimin. So too in the first half of the Mishnah, we're talking about two different people. Period. Just one point, then we'll get back to the. This is part one of the Gemara about Zav. Again, 2 days in the Gemara. Once you know the Mishnah in Zavim, then the Mishnah flows just to know what the halacha is. We pointed out before that the four people in Chazal that are called Mechusrei Kapara are Zav, Zava, Yoledes, Mitzora. And the Rambam asks, why by Zav and Zava do we have male and female as different categories? Zav, Zava, we're talking about Zav. By Mitzora, it's the same. Mitzora is male or female. They're both included in Mitzora. We don't say Mitzora and Mitzoraas. So why is that? So the Rambam deals with this in the Sefer Mitzvahs. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs already tells us in Mitzvah Ayin Hei, we've discussed this in the past, the Rambam says in the Mitzvah Ayin Hei, why? Because there's differences, as we just saw today. There's differences in halacha, we didn't see it fully today, but there's difference in halacha between a male and a female Zav. Zav and Zava are different. Mitzorah and Mitzoraz, there's no difference between men and women. The same exact halacha is applied to a man Mitzorah and a female Mitzoraas. But a Zav and a Zava, there are differences. We mentioned today a Zav, two Re'iyas, three Re'iyas. A woman, you can't have three in one day, or two in one day. It's got to be days. It's got to be days. There are differences in halacha, but that's what the Rambam says here in Mitzvah Ayin Hey. V'ulei makshi yiksha alai v'yomer achas shakarban azav, v'ukarban azav, the karbanas are the same. Lama lo timne min hakarban, yischayev bo komi shi yischayev, kamo, that like chatas and asham, that's all one karban for all the reasons that you would bring it. So the Rambam says, Yadeh hamaksha hu shekarban zav zava einu ala chatoim, avalu karban shechova laso so al inyan minho inyanim. These karbanos are based on events that occurred. V'ilu hayu inyani hazivos ba'anashim anashim davar echad, if they were the same. Kamo shehi b'shem, sheshem zeh zav, sheshem zo zava, if they're exactly the same, azroi lemnosam echad. Aval eina inyan kein, but there's a difference. What does the ziva look like for a man and a woman? Do you do the checkings, right? The isha. So there's differences in halacha. So therefore, it says the Rambam, you count them separately, zav and zava. Okay, let's continue. Parcha bo mitoch esker. Once we're talking about saras, now the second half of the Mishnah. So let's parcha bo mitoch esker. We know there is a very unusual halacha in Hilchos Saras. But if I have saras over parts of my body, so then I become a mitzora. Different types of spots, different parts of my body. What happens if I get saras on my entire body? I'm totally covered. What does the Torah say? You're tar. You're tar, you're not a mitzora. Unbelievable. I have it on 99% of my body, I get saras. I have saras, I have to sit outside the camp, I'm the most tame you could be. But if I get it on my entire, I wake up, there's not one part of my body that's clean, I'm tar. So the question is, what happens if I'm sitting in the house because I'm a mitzora muzgar? Right, the Kohen's not sure what to do with me, so he put me in the house. Maybe we'll see what it turns into. And then when he comes and looks at me, I'm totally covered. So I'm tahar. But I was tameh, partially. I was musgar. So do I have to go through the process of becoming tahar again? Because I was only semi-tameh, I was musgar, and now I became tahar. So there are two ways I could become tar. Either the tzaras disappears, or I become totally covered. So if the tzaras disappears, I obviously became tar myself. I don't have to do anything, right? I don't have to bring the special birds at the end of the process. But what happens if I became totally covered? That's the Gemara's question. Parcha bo mitoch esker, parcha, if it's spread out. If it's spread out, mitoch esker, do I have to bring the birds? As we're going to see in Bezrim tomorrow's daf, the process of bringing the chatas and the ashim and the ola, that for sure I don't have to do. Because I didn't become a mitzora muchlat. But the first part of the process about the birds. There's one live bird, one dead bird. So parah pa mitoch esker, so biochan amar ton si parim, belazar amar ain ton si parim, machlokas or biochan and belazar. Biochan says, you have to do the bird process. Belazar says no. So Amar Rabbi Bobar Mamo, Mastisa Masala Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Mamo says the following price supports Rabbi Yochanan that he has to bring the birds. Again, what case are we talking about? You're a Mitzora Musgar. You're there for a week waiting to see what happens, and then you get Saras all over your body. So do you have to go through the bird process? So Messiah Rabbi Yochanan, Minat Sarua, those extra words, right? If you look at the pasuk, though, you don't need those two words. Lahavi es Sheparcha Bakula Shetan Siparim. That includes a muchlat. If somebody is vadai, a muchlat, somebody is a full mitzora, then he has to bring the birds. If he gets saras all over his body right now. If he's a muchlat, then he has to bring the birds. The Gemara says, valodinu, and it's a kal vachomer. Ma im, this is all a brisa about a mitzora muchlat. Ma im isha tahar ve'ein simani metama imo. If somebody becomes tahar and he no longer has any saras on him, meaning a regular case, where he has saras and then he becomes tohar. So in a case where he becomes tohar and he has no more saras, remnants, signs on him, ton siparim, but in a regular case of mitzvah that becomes tohar, he has to bring the birds. So bisha tohar v'simani metam avimo, eno dinshi ton siparim. So if this guy, he has saras still on him, it's over his whole body. So if somebody is a mitzvah and he still has his saras spots, for sure he has to bring the birds. Right? That's the kal vachomer of the brisa. If somebody who no longer has saras spots on him has to bring the birds, meaning the saras disappeared, so surely if somebody still has the saras spots on him, he's totally covered, surely he has to bring the birds. That's what the brisa says. Says the Gemara, says the brisa, it's all part of the brisa, not true. Vahalo, I'll bring you a case where you still have the saras spots and you don't have to bring the birds. What case? If after a week, the saras didn't grow. Same exact. What does the Kohen say? Go home. If after the second week, I'll prove to you that your logic is not true. Shetohar, he becomes tar if it didn't spread. The simani matamavimo, he still has the spots on him. They ain't on Sibarma, he doesn't have to bring birds. So afatal, the tamal misha parcha bakulo. So too, if you're a full-fledged mitzora, a mukhlat, and then it spreads on the whole body. Sha'av abisha tar v'simani matamavimo, even though you became tar and you still have the tzara spots, they ain't on Sibarma, maybe you don't need the birds. So you knock out the kal vachomer. That's why the brisa says you need the pasuk. Tama lomer minat sarua lavi esheparcha bekulo sheiton siparim. This is the end of the brisa. So the brisa says, if somebody has saras, for sure, he's muchlat. And then the Kohen goes to check him to see if it went away. And instead of going away, it totally covered his body. He still has to do the process of the birds. That's the, based on the pasuk. So now the Gemara says, we try to knock out the kal vachomer by saying, hey, I'll give you a case where you still have the tzara spots and you're not chayiv the birds. The case where it didn't spread. Says the Gemara, I have a different case that Brisa could have brought. Im omer at letar mitoch esker, lo yehiton siparim, if you say by a mitzora musgar, right, not a muchlat, if you say by a mitzora musgar, he does not have to bring the birds, then the Brisa should have brought that to knock out the kal vachomer. Not a new case of not spreading. V-C-V-N-A. The Brisa should have brought this as a question, right? Because the Brisa is trying to come up with a case where you still have saras spots and you're not chayef to bring the birds. So it brings a case of, oh, it didn't spread. What do you mean? It could have brought this case. Lo mutav lahasha pricha la prichos, velo amida la prichos. This is a more parallel case to what we're trying to figure out. What's the Brisa trying to figure out? If somebody's a vade mitzora, and then his body is totally covered with saras, does he have to bring the birds? So, and we try, and brought a kal vachomer. So wouldn't it have been better to knock out that kal vachomer with the parallel case of, if you have a mitzora muskar, and you become totally covered, and you don't have to bring the birds? So the fact that the Brisa did not bring that, it must be that it's not true. That Rabbi Yochanan is correct. that if you become totally covered, you do have to bring the birds. That's a raya to Rabbi Yochanan. Again, the raya that the Braisa does not knock out the Kal v'chomer with this case, but instead it brings in a different case. Says the Gemara, there's two more steps. Amar Rabbi Chanan Yechavrin Durabanan, Masiza Masal Rabbi Yochanan. The next line of the Braisa is also a raya to Rabbi Yochanan. Dechein Tanya Masiv L'chavrei Lo. Because this is the question, Masiv L'chavrei, because this is the question that the Braisa continues to ask. And that is, says the Gemara, Lo, don't bring, the Karban Eid explains this line, don't bring a proof. What the Gemara, how the Braisa knock out the Kal v'chomer? Oh, I'll bring you a case where you still have us and you're not chayiv birds. If after a week, it didn't spread. So the next line of the Braisa, which we're quoting now, is, Lo, im amarta bazeh she'eno niskak l'chalita. Don't bring me a raya from that case of Hesker, where it didn't spread. There, he never became a real, full-fledged Bitzora. Tomar bazeh she'u niskak l'chalita. But we're trying to figure out a case where he is a Mitzora full. Ho'avu niskak l'haklet yeton siparim. Don't bring me a raya from a Muskar to a case of Muchlat regarding the birds. This is what the next line of the Braisa holds. Explains the Karban Eda, it must be that the Tanakama, the earlier line of the Braisa, was not bothered by this. That Mitzora, Muskar, and Muchlat would be different, because he must say there's no difference between Muskar and Muchlat, and just like the Muchlat would be chayef to bring the birds, so too the Muskar would be chayef to bring the birds. So the Gemara says, this Braisa that we brought, both stages of the Braisa, is a raya to Rabbi Yochanan, that if somebody is a Mitzora Muskar, then his body gets totally covered in saras, he's chayef to go through the bird ceremony. One more line. Amar Rav Yaakov Baracha. Rav Yaakov Baracha says, Sofa Masala Rabbi Elazar. But there's a Mishnah in Negaim that, all about Saras, that's a ride to the other way. The ride to Rabbi Elazar that he doesn't bring the birds. Why? Because the Braisa says, Hatorah mitoch Hesker, if somebody is a Mitzora Muskar, as our Mishnah said, Pater mi Priya Umifrima. If somebody's a Mitzora Muskar, he's Pater from Priya, again, growing his hair long, Upriman, from ripping his clothing, Umitiklachas, and from shaving his head at the end of his process, Umitziparim, and from bringing the birds. The Mishnah says there, Beferish, that if a Mitzora Muskar is part of her bringing the birds, and what were we talking about there? What was the context? Komandan and Kaiman, Hacha Beprichas. The Mishnah there was talking about the spreading of the, all over his body. So you see, Beferish there, in that context, Araya to Rebbe Elazar. Period. We'll have to stop there, but we got through this section. And again, the first half was about Ziva, just two stages in the Gemara, where the Mishnah is talking about two Re'ias versus three Re'ias, or two different people. And then the second discussion was, does somebody who's a Mitzora Mitoch Musgar, he's in the house, is he going to become a Mitzora Muchlat or not? We don't know. And then all of a sudden, he has Saras all over his body. Does he have to go through the process of the Tziparim of a Mitzora? Okay, we'll stop here.